How do you treat poor people? Good question, right? How do you treat poor people? When you find out that someone is in need of food, or that they are homeless, or that they are unable to properly care for themselves or their family, how do you respond, physically or mentally? What do you do when you find out that someone is addicted to heroin? How do you feel about someone when you find out that they're addicted to pain medication? How do you treat people who suffer from mental illness? If you know someone is in prison, or if you know that they are hospitalized, or if you know that they are in the nursing home, do you go visit them? How do you treat them? How do you treat people who are poor in body, mind, or soul? That's a pretty important question for us to answer, I think, if we believe that Scripture carries any weight for us at all. If we believe the things Jesus said and taught are relevant to us, then this is an important question. These are important questions for us to ask. How do we treat the poor? Because you see, if we believe those things, that the Bible is relevant and that it does carry weight even now, and if we believe that what Jesus said and what Jesus taught is also relevant and carries weight for us even now, then this passage should be very important to us, right? It should be very important to us, and so should the way that we treat poor people, all of them, in all of the places, at all of the times. If the Bible is relevant to you and you think that it carries weight for you, then all of those things should be important to you. Why? Why? Because Jesus, through this parable that we just heard, told us, and I think he told us very clearly, that the way we treat the poor is the way we treat him. The way we treat the poor is the way we treat him. Think about that. If we say the Bible is true and relevant, do you?
Yes.
One person in this Christian church thinks that the Bible is true and relevant. Do you think that the Bible is true and relevant?
Yes.
Good. Much better. So if we believe that, and if we believe the words Jesus is recorded as saying in Matthew 25 are for us, are for you and me, and if we know that some of those words are, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me, and whatever you did not do for one of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did not do it for me, then it shouldn't be very hard for us to see that we're supposed to care for the poor, right? Shouldn't it be easy for us to see him in every single person who is poor in whatever way or for whatever reason they are poor? Shouldn't it be easy, if we know all those things and if we believe all those things, to see him in the poor people that we look at in our community? Knowing what he said, shouldn't we be a little more diligent about seeing to it that we are caring for the poor? Like really caring for the poor. Not with lip service only, right? Or at all. But really caring for the poor and caring about the poor. Because we know that when we do, we're really caring for and caring about our Savior. Amen? This is one of those things that I believe is so much easier said than done, you know? You know what I mean by that? At least it is for me, much easier said than done. I know that he was telling me in this scripture that I should see him in the poor people around me, and I should treat them with the same love and compassion and grace and respect and forgiveness that I would treat him with if he were standing before me poor. Right? I know what he's saying to me, but somehow knowing it doesn't always lead to doing it. Have you ever noticed that in your life? Knowing it doesn't always lead to doing it. Knowing what he is telling me through this passage doesn't always lead to me doing what he's telling me to do through this passage. So knowledge doesn't always lead to action, does it? Sometimes the knowledge that I have about what he's saying doesn't lead so easily to the action that I know he's calling me to take. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you see what I mean? Is it hard for you when you think of this passage? Or do you have it all figured out? Are you like, Pastor Jim, you're wasting my time. I got this all figured out. Are you able to literally see Jesus in the eyes of all of the poor people around you and treat them accordingly? Are you able to do that? Are you able to be as compassionate and kind and forgiving and gracious to the poor people around you as you would be to Jesus if he was standing poor before you? Are you able to do that? Or do you treat the poor people around you a little differently than you would probably treat Jesus himself if he were standing before you, poor, asking for help, or just plain needing help and not even asking for it, needing to be loved, needing someone to show him compassion? Do you treat the poor the way you would treat Jesus? Or do you struggle with that sometimes? Do you read this passage with faith? Do you read it with faith, believing that Jesus meant what he said? Or do you let yourself off of the hook a little too easy and allow yourself to look away from the poor, maybe because you're convinced that Jesus must have meant something different, right? He must have meant something different, something much different, that he surely didn't mean really that you are actually supposed to care for the poor as though you were actually caring for Jesus. Couldn't have meant that, right? Do you let yourself off of the hook? Have you ever noticed the way we make simple things hard? And I don't know if that's a Christian thing or a human thing, but we make easy things hard, right? Whatever you did for one of these, you did it for me. Is that hard? That's easy, right? If you can read or listen, it's easy, but sometimes we make such easy things so difficult. Sometimes we take the easiest passages and make them so confusing. And isn't that what we do sometimes with this simple call from Jesus? It is simple, isn't it? Can we agree on that? It's simple. It's not hard to understand what Jesus meant when he said, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers or sisters of mine, you did it for me. And whatever you did not do for one of the least of these brothers or sisters of mine, you did not do it for me. It doesn't get much simpler than that, does it? You know what they say about our Bible? One of the greatest things about our Bible is that it can be understood, read and understood at a fourth grade reading level. It's one of the greatest things about our faith is that if you can read at a fourth grade level, you can understand what Jesus, the things that are read, that are written in the Bible, right? This is simple stuff, right? It's easy, but we make it difficult because sometimes easy is hard on us, isn't it? Sometimes easy isn't as easy as we would like for it to be. But we make easy things so hard, it seems like we just decide for ourselves that he must not have meant what he said. Otherwise, if we haven't decided that, then why aren't the poor treated better than they're treated? You see what I mean? If we haven't decided that Jesus must have meant something different than that when we treat the poor one way, we're treating him that way, then why wouldn't we be treating people the same way that we would treat Jesus? But listen, what if we approached this passage like Jesus meant what he said? Like he actually meant what he said, right? That he meant for us to treat the poor like we would treat him. What if we stopped trying to be the judge and the jury for the poor people around us? Because sometimes that's how we make it hard, isn't it? We say, well, they don't deserve that. They blank. They are poor because blank, right? And so we say, well, Jesus wouldn't really want us to treat them that way because we haven't deemed that they're worthy of it, right? But what if we just took him for his word? What if we stopped trying to be judge and jury for the people around us? What if we stopped deciding for ourselves whether or not they deserve our attention? What if we stopped acting like pull yourself up by your bootstraps is such a great thing to say to the poor and the down and out around us? What if we just did what Jesus says here and loved and cared for the poor the way we would love and care for Jesus? What if we just did that? What if we just made it simple? Because you know what? I don't know about you, but when I read this parable, when I read these words Jesus used to encourage us to care well for the poor, I don't find any room for judgment. I don't find any room at all for judgment. There's nothing in this parable to indicate that Jesus wants us to determine which of the poor are worthy of our love and our care. Nothing. There's nothing to indicate that he wants us to choose who to love and who to care for based on whether or not we think they are legitimately poor or not. Right? Do you find anything there that would say, hey, Christian, you decide whether you're supposed to love them like you love me? There's nothing, is there? Jesus did not say, judge the poor and then love them, did he? He did not say, judge the poor and then love them. He did not say, scrutinize every person who appears to be poor or who claims to be poor or who says they need food and then treat them the way you would treat me. Do you read it that way? If your Bible says that, get rid of it. I'll buy you another one. No, Jesus said, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. Simple. He said, for I was hungry and you gave me some food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. Not I was thirsty and you had to make sure I was really thirsty or that I wasn't thirsty because of some stupid decision I made. But I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. He did not say I was hungry and you determined that my hunger and my deep poverty was caused by no fault of my own. And in your eyes, I am a real victim and deserved to have you offer me food. And then you gave me food. That, if that's what your Bible says, get rid of that one too. No, he didn't say that. He just said I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was hungry. I was thirsty. I was naked. I was sick. I was in prison. What if we actually believed those words? How many Christians say that you should interpret the Bible literally? I'm not among them, but so many do. What if we did that here? What if we interpreted this literally, what if we believe that he really meant what he said? That when we care for the poor, we're caring for Jesus. And when we ignore the poor, we're ignoring Jesus. And listen, when we judge the poor, we judge Jesus, right? Imagine a scenario where what Jesus described in this parable was actually true and believed by his followers. Starting here, not in this room, but in the seat that you're occupying right now. Imagine a scenario where it actually happens for you. And more specifically, imagine not that it happens for this church, but that it happens for you specifically, that you committed to this, to believe Jesus was telling the truth and to actually follow the truth that he was teaching. Imagine a scenario where you accepted this truth that he expressed through the parable. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. And whatever you did not do for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did not do it for me. Imagine a world where all poor people were treated like that. Can you imagine it? Imagine a world where all Christians who believe in the Bible and who love Jesus cared for the poor as though they were caring for Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah, with the same passion, the same compassion, the same love, the same grace, the same forgiveness. Imagine a world where the poor were treated that way. Listen, Jesus was really just encouraging us to commit to care for the poor, wasn't he? Again, simple. He was just encouraging us to care for the poor. He was showing us how to treat them with love and kindness and respect and dignity and to actually want to help them. To want to help them, right? In whatever ways they need to be helped. Committing to treat people who are poor with love and kindness and respect is what this passage, this part of Matthew 25 is aimed at doing. I believe it was Jesus' main purpose for telling this story, for teaching this parable. So what if you did it? What if you made a change in your life and you did it? you actually did it? What if you believed this part of the gospel and put it into practice in your life? Don't look around you and say, I hope that person gets this. What if you did it? You. What if you did this? What if you committed to see Jesus every time you see a poor person? Poor in mind, poor in body, poor in soul. Poor due to poverty, poor due to mental illness, poor due to addiction, poor due to incarceration, poor due to whatever has made them poor. And what if you actually treated those people the exact same way you would treat Jesus if he stood poor before you? If he was standing in front of you, imagine this with me for a minute. Don't close your eyes because we're a little late in the sermon. If he was standing in front of you, poor in some way, how would you respond? Jesus, your Savior, your Messiah. If he was standing before you, poor, how would you respond? If he, Jesus, stood before you, hungry and needing something to eat, would you walk past him and wonder to yourself what stupid thing he did to end up in that position? Would you judge him and tell him to get a job, whether you did it out loud or in your mind? Or would you just go get him something to eat because he's hungry? If he was on the street corner in the dead of winter without a coat, how would you respond? Jesus, your Savior, on the street corner in the dead of winter without a coat, would you walk past him? Would you look the other way and assume that he must have chosen this life and so he should live with the consequences that come with that choice? Or would you take your coat off and give it to him so he might be a little warmer than he was before you walked past him? If you heard that Jesus, your Savior, the Savior of the world, the one who went to the cross and died there for you, if you heard that Jesus was battling heroin addiction and losing that fight every single day of his life, that Jesus' life was spinning out of control because a monster was causing him to make terrible decisions and hurt his family and steal from innocent people so that he could afford his next 30-minute high, would you act like you didn't really know that he was struggling? Would you do that? Would you look away and pretend not to know that his addiction was killing him because it's an illness? That his addiction is an illness that he would heal from right now if he knew how? If it was Jesus who couldn't stop sticking a needle in his arm, how would you respond then? Do you see how this story Jesus told can change the way we look at the poor? Do you see that? And how we treat the poor and how we love the poor? That was his purpose for telling it. He wants us to see the poor the way that we see him. Because then, if we love him, we will love them, right? If we love him, then we'll love them too. And we will never be able to look away from them in their need. We'll never be able to look away from them in their poverty and their addiction and whatever it is that this life has dealt them that has made them poor. And so my prayer this morning is that we will be moved by the Holy Spirit, that we'll be moved by this parable, these words of Jesus. So moved that we will stop looking away from the poor and justifying it. I hope we're so moved that we will stop judging them before we love them. I hope that we're so moved that we will see Jesus, that we will literally see Jesus when we look into their eyes. I pray that we will know by faith and that we will know without a doubt that whatever we do for them, we are doing it for Jesus. And whatever we do not do for them, we are not doing it for Jesus. I pray today that we will commit to loving them both. Let's pray together. God, we love you. And God, we love your Son, Jesus. That's why we're here. We're here to worship you because you are awesome and you are worthy of our praise. And God, we live our lives so that we can be more like Jesus. But God, I pray that you would help us to listen to him here. God, help us not to finagle our way around this passage. God, help us to just approach it as the simple, simple call that it is, that when we care for the poor, we're caring for Jesus. God, help us to not wait until they become like Jesus to make this simple. God, help us to know that it's in their addiction, and it's in their poverty, and it's in their bad decisions, and it's in their illness, and it's in the prison where we're supposed to be Jesus to them, where we're supposed to treat them the way we would treat Jesus. So God, make us a church that does that. But God, help us to be individuals who do that first. So God, we pray for your strength, and we pray for your courage, and we pray that you would help us to see Jesus when we look at the poor. We pray all that in the precious name of Christ. Amen.